Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
The one thing that's the craziest to me about it all is watching like niggas have to guard 5 people on the court. Like not being able to say, oh, well, yo, my man, just go hang out over there in the corner. You know what I mean? Like we about to just double everybody with the ball because we literally know you just about to sit here. That's I'm hype. Amin, this is it, bro. Like all the laughter that I got from you, Jay, Tom, everyone when I would say, hey, you know, da 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 da, we're here.
Yo, you know what's funny is you're saying this shit, but I remember when Jerv was the number one dude complaining about James Harden step backs, the number one dude complaining about James Harden drawing fouls that ain't. Like, he flopping the whole time. And now this dude got pom-poms out. He got a big sign. Say, yay, free throws.
Bro, he's out here posting Sixer Nation videos on his fucking Instagram story. Like, Photoshop pictures. Like, I swear, bro. Like, the whole city has a good energy, and I love when Philly fans are happy. because they're never fucking happy. So this is rare. But I will say, and I told him to be realistic moving forward. Listen, as soon as that shit fell, I'm on your ass.
hey, listen, I know that there's a strong possibility that this shit can go left, and I'm prepared for all that. But I'm telling y'all motherfuckers, if this shit go right, I've never FaceTimed any of you all, I don't think. Or I tried, I might have FaceTimed you once. Amin probably would look at the FaceTime and be like, what the fuck is going on? Like, is this dude okay? I'm not answering that shit. Bro, no. look, you gonna have to answer this call. I'm telling you. Like, I took too much of this smoke for years. Like, no.
You know what's crazy? What happens, sir? What do you do? Because I don't know if you watched that Nets game. Them motherfuckers looks crazy. And two of their best players ain't even play.
Hey, right? He don't want to hear that.
What are you going to do? Well, you could be happy for the Sixers right now, and I'm happy for you being happy for the Sixers. Right? That's cool. But I just want to know, what are you going to do when Simmons plays and Durant plays and the Nets look like a fucking buzzsaw?
Are you prepared for that?
I'm prepared for y'all motherfuckers to get a realistic view of what I've seen 82 games. This dude's going to look great in the regular season. He's going to be on the court on the fourth quarter. You don't think we're not going to just hack a bend and we're not going to just fucking leave him wide open? I refuse to believe he hits the switch overnight. And now all of a sudden he's everything that you wanted to do.
Y'all traded away a shooter who's shooting 47%.
Oh my God, Seth Curry looked amazing.
I didn't want to do that.
Like, he's 18 for 38 right now, bro. Like, you know how fucking crazy that is since becoming a Net? Like,
yo, Harden had five threes in the first game and didn't even shoot in the first half.
Here's the thing. You're not even being logical about he's doing this without Kevin Durant. So think about those looks he's going to get. If Joe Harris come back, heard you, boy. But I already less told shots. Him, I mean. They got to see. I said, I'm not going to pat the Sixers on the back until they see Milwaukee's, until they see, you know, them.
Y'all acting like we got the MVP of the league on our squad right now. This is kind of crazy to me.
He is the MVP right now. I'm not going to hold you.
No one on planet Earth does what he does at his size.
Oh, I was about to say DeMar Hooper, though.
Yeah. Oh, that shit cute, bro.
It's neck and neck right now, brother.
That shit's cute. Them mid-range jumpers is cute.
Welcome to Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. My name is Amino Hassett. That's Black Trey. That right there is Philadelphia Jerv. He's got a new name now. He's no longer Big Jerv. He's Philadelphia Jerv. He wants
water ice bull.
He wants all the branding to represent he is a proud Sixer fan. He's happy because Ben Simmons is gone and James Harden has taken his place and looked amazing in his first game. In a Sixers uniform. We're recording this right as Sixers Knicks is about to tip off. So by the time you listen to this, German had already changed his mind about Harden. But for right now, he's all step backs and free throws and strip clubs for Jerv right now. All those things are all two thumbs up. We got a great show for you guys today. Snowfall is back. We're going to jump into that. Sorry, Oz. You're going to have to go take a back seat until TV season is slow again, but right now we are fully snowfalled up. Also, Power, another episode. I didn't watch this week, so you guys are going to have to do the heavy lifting on that one. But first, let me just remind everybody, patreon.com/countthedings is where you go to catch all the extra content like The Bomb Overflows, where we're reviewing Euphoria and Righteous Gemstones, like the Cinephobe Watch-Alongs, where we did Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, and obviously the access to the Discord, the access to other exclusive content. Make sure you're a Patreon right now. If you are already a Patreon, thank you, and go peer pressure somebody else to be a Patreon as well. All right, let's get into the show. I haven't spoken much about All-Star Weekend. I did a little bit for Overflow, but I'm going to give y'all a taste. You know what? I want to look ahead. Are we really excited about Salt Lake City All-Star Weekend?
No. I know. First of all, it's Salt Lake City, right? I honestly believe that Utah is going to be able to host. I think the thing is, they're going to be able to show up and show out, but people are going to fuck around and find out about Salt Lake City, right?
Like it's a hidden gem? Is that what you're saying?
It's going to be a hidden gem, yes.
Do you have knowledge that it's a hidden gem?
No, I'm not going to say that.
Because if I had to put my bread on that, I would put my odds are not in that
but, favor. No, but it was a lot of people that came back from Cleveland and felt differently about Cleveland. So I do think that who
are these niggas? Who? Give me names.
No, did they have a helicopter? Names.
Did they have a helicopter?
No, but they said that
teleportation.
They did not. They said it was decent though. It wasn't as bad as they thought.
Niggas is lying, lies. I refuse. That's why now I feel like an NBA player. Credit? Put a name on it. I'm like an NBA player right now. Put a name on it. If they don't have a name on it, then their opinion don't matter. I put my name on it. This shit was trash. It was 1,000% trash.
I will say this, though. I can't really. I've been to Utah. I had a great time in Utah when I was there. You guys heard the stories. If you don't know, go listen to the old pods. But I will say Indianapolis is definitely going to be funner. Funner's not a word, by the way.
Indianapolis
being fun is not a word either, nigga.
You're trying to sell me on Utah by saying that Indianapolis is going to be more fun? That doesn't really make sense.
Listen, hey, Indianapolis low key fire.
I
must have went to the wrong part of Indianapolis.
Yeah, for real. Trey out here with his, I don't know, is the NBA, does the NBA have a Wyden Kennedy account now?
No, we don't. I promise I don't. But no, I'm saying, yes, we would prefer warmer cities. Yes, we would prefer Miami. But you know, what goes on in Miami during that time? I mean, can you remind them?
Fleet Week.
And Fleet Week is way more important than your funky ass All Star game. Keep them niggas out of Miami.
What's Fleet Week?
Fleet Week, it's like people just got yachts or whatever, and like they pull up. And
yeah, no, the only niggas to come down there fucking that up.
And niggas can't afford it, so stay away.
Like, you know, my thing is like, I'm not even looking for warm anymore. I'll accept the call, but we're not gonna do 6 hotels and 3 Uber cars for an entire city. That's what we're not gonna do. And that's the part that I got a problem with, is that everywhere, like all these cities, Indianapolis is the only one. Well, here's the thing. I agree with Trey that Utah might be fun for one reason only. I've been to Park City, Utah, which is like 25 minutes or so from Salt Lake. Park City is where they do Sundance Film Festival. And it's got a lot of bars and it's got a lot of like, luxury hotels, not hotels, but luxury hotels. I think it might be fun up there. I just wonder and worry about, do they have enough hotels, period, to accommodate everybody? And also, getting an Uber.
I'm going to find out. I'm going to listen. We're going to get on that shit early. Yeah, I'm going to go. Because I just need to lock in with the homies one more time.
So,
you know what I'm saying?
So
before it's over.
Indianapolis, the reason why I think they might be able to handle it is because they do the combine there every year. And so they got a lot of hotel. What's up?
Bro, so you know NFL niggas always get in trouble. You don't never hear about nobody getting in trouble in Indianapolis. Indianapolis can't be that fun. No
my
one
nigga,
gets
you
in trouble at the combine.
My nigga, you forgot Mike Tyson fun. Caught that case, nigga. Yeah. They used to have that motherfucking event there. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not
saying with Indianapolis, nigga. It's hood.
But Jerv, here's my thing. I can deal with no fun. I can deal with no fun, or I could deal with fun, but no hotels. What I can't do is both, and that's Cleveland. Cleveland wasn't fun, and it didn't have hotels, and didn't have infrastructure. And so that's my thing. you know, I've been saying this for on a couple of podcasts now, but it's like if it's seven of us, we going somewhere, and one of the homies said, "Yo, I'll drive," but they drive a Mazda Miata. Like, I don't care how like enthusiastic you are to do this shit, you are physically incapable to transport all of us in that little ass car. And that's what Cleveland is. It's a little ass town. It's a little ass town, man.
Is the downtown bigger now, or is it still that little two block radius?
Still that two block radius, bro.
Nah, you can't.
I went with comedian Ricky Smith, and he showed us around some other spots. And I won't lie, like if you go to off the beaten path, like he said it best. Like, this is how Ricky described it. This is why I didn't hate Cleveland for the usual Cleveland things. I hated it more for the infrastructure stuff. He said Cleveland. I said, because I told him, I went to Milwaukee and I had the time of my life. Every time I go to Milwaukee, I love it. Like, why is it I love it? It's not a small market. It's not a Midwest thing. I love Milwaukee. He's like, here's why. He says, because Cleveland doesn't know it's supposed to be Cleveland. He said, Milwaukee knows it's supposed to be Milwaukee. So they embrace the Milwaukee, and then it's just fun, right? Like, you're fun because they're not trying to be something they're not. Problem with Cleveland is they're trying to say, like, oh, we got things just as fun as New York and Chicago and L.A. and stuff, which obviously they don't. And so he said, if you go to that part of Cleveland, you're never going to have a good time. But if you go to the part of Cleveland, like, yeah, we're a piece of shit. You actually got me this shirt. It says, Cleveland, have a beer. It's not that bad. And I was like, you know what? When we went to that part of Cleveland, it was cool and it was fun. Now, mind you, it had nothing to do with All-Star. This would have been nice for June in the finals. Right, to know someone like Ricky, because I think we would have loved it, Jerv, to be honest with you, because we would have just went and had fun. But that like so All-Star weekend, when it's like 2 degrees and there's ice everywhere, and you know some people out here, but you just don't know where. That shit was bothersome, man.
I always tell people, don't try to find your city in that particular city that you're in. And I think that's where sometimes we fail at, because
he's just trying to find a city.
I get it. But I'm just saying, sometimes when other people go, right, they look for the litness in the city instead of just making it the best of what that city fucking does. You know what I'm saying? Like, because some cities aren't going. Listen, bro, I lived in Iowa for 2 years, bro. Think about this. Cleveland can't be worse than Iowa, bro. It's no way. I'm not believing that, bro.
Where in Iowa were you?
Fort City, nigga. Where they make Winnebagoes.
Okay, so like, but think about how far you had to take it to get to the point where I'm like, okay, you got to.
No, but I'm still looking at it like, nigga, there's some bad cities in California that's worse than Cleveland.
Bro, it was the NBA Finals.
Niggas ain't never been to Weed, California. Hey, niggas say Bakersfield. Say even Palmdale might be worse than Cleveland, bro. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Oh, I don't know about that, man. I don't know about that.
Hey, man, look.
You go fishing in
Palmdale. All I'm saying is, give Utah, give Indianapolis, give it a chance, man.
Oh, my God.
Would you prefer it in Sacramento? Come on, man.
My ignorant ass would, because I would imagine there's beaches in Sacramento, but there probably isn't. Yeah. I would come with my swim trunks like Jerv. I did for San Fran.
Jerv coming with like a beach towel and a fucking beach ball.
Could you imagine Jerv like underestimating that? I remember the homies when we were at Fresno City, they got off the Greyhound, they were looking for beaches in Fresno. And I'm like, you're in for a rude awakening, bro. It is a college town.
I honestly did not know there were cities that were not on the coast in California. I thought it was just like this, right up and down the coast. And over here is nothing. Nothing, farmland or some shit. I didn't know there were cities there that people lived in.
I packed so many swim trunks for that fucking finals trip. I was so ready to hit the beach. I was like, oh, shit.
Could you imagine this nigga with some striped swimming trunks? And a fucking t-shirt for him to go into water like Fat Beach.
No, I don't even think our hotel had a swimming pool.
And he got suntan.
Fuck no, it didn't have a swimming pool.
It's funny, it's like the hotel is just like, yo, summer, winter don't fucking matter. nobody getting naked around here.
It was a fly hotel. I loved shout it. Out, I was shout out. Well, to it the was hotel, a signature, man. Right?
Yep. Autograph collection.
That was you. Introduced me.
I was shit. I was not. I introduced him. You know, it's like all the NBA media people stay there now. It's fucking cooked. Like it's done. Yeah. It's
now they embarked the plug.
It's like Vidara. Vidara used to be our fucking little secret. Oh. Now it's like they all stay there, and I'm like, well, thanks for ruining this shit.
Now we gotta find a new place to stay.
I think that's probably the worst thing ever too. When you like share. Like it's like Larry when he shared this little route, and yeah, then now yeah, I got traffic. Like it's like, yeah, you get to that point where you're like, all right, I'm gonna tell one person, you know, I'm gonna be cool, I'm gonna chop with somebody else, and then they tell, and it's burnt, bro. It loses the value. No, it's I the hate worst it. When,
because it was such a dope little spot, man. The dude, they all knew us. The bartender knew us. The check-in people knew us.
Dude, I cracked it. Yo, and we were there so long. I figured out how to rack up the points.
With the housekeeping shit?
Yo, I don't think I got my shit cleaned the whole entire time I was there. I was like, yo, let me just keep racking up these points. Don't even worry cards, about it. Yo.
You hand them cards back to them, 500 points a pop.
I didn't feel like cleaning up the room and hiding shit anyway. Mm.
Good times, man. All good times. Shit, what else is going on? What is on the agenda?
Man, we got Power, Force, no,
before
and
the
Snowfall.
Before the shows. Anything else happening in the world?
Oh, I mean, I EP'd an album.
All right, shit. All right, talk to us. I didn't know what that. I thought that was a playlist, Trey.
I like executive
producer. Trey got another Apple playlist.
No, I literally executive produced an album. Shout-outs to Chris Crack for trusting me to, work on this project.
What does that mean, Trey? What does that mean, you executive produce the album? Like,
so normally, like, when
Thugger so when on normally, the board?
No, so basically, normally when you hear the title executive produce, you see it on a lot of shows, you see it on albums. Mostly people financially fund things. Well, my role was to pick songs that worked for the album. And then also organize the transitions of like,
okay,
this is going to be the first song. This is going to be the second song. This transitions to that, this, that, and the third. And the time I went to go see Sean, when I was in Chicago, I went to the studio with Chris Crack, and he recorded all these songs. And I ended up getting like a plethora of like maybe 80 songs. So this is a process. It's not like, you know,
you went from 80 songs and you cut it down to how many?
To 18.
From 80 to 18. Damn, bro.
Yeah.
It's a lot. And it wasn't just like, okay, these are the hot ones and these aren't. It was the ones that fit.
It was the ones that I thought was hot. You know what I'm saying? So like I was more responsible for this project than anything, because I was like, okay, I might like these songs, but he's trusting me to put this together. Like, you know what I mean? Like, these shits might be whack to the normal crowd. Like, so right. I'm like, fuck, I have to be strategic about what is going I like to think I got good ears in music. What is going to cater to the audience?
But I guess my question is this, were there songs where you're like, this is hot, it just doesn't quite fit the vibe of the rest of it?
Right. Yes, because I still listen to the to the unreleased joints now. Like I got some favorites that just didn't work for the flow.
Right. So how do you know, what was your connection with this artist?
So he was a guest on Growing Up the Same, but I had found him out through Dragonfly Jones. Dragonfly Jones posted him a song. I clicked it. I'm like, oh, this shit kind of cool. I dove in a little. I'm a music lurker. So like if you share music on your story,
music lurker,
I'm probably going to listen to it. I'm probably going to get really in depth with the artist. I'm going to probably find similar artists. And, you know, I do that stuff. So I got very familiar with this catalog. We start following each other. We DM'd a couple of times. And then after that, I'm like, yo, I'm in Chicago, because that's me. I'm a fan. So I'll lock in with whoever. Like, hey, this, that, and the third. So I pulled up, I watched him in this process, and, you know, I sat on a couple songs, and then, you know, here we are, February 22nd, 2022, I wake up and it's an album out. And he's like, oh, yeah, by the way, the album's out. Like, and I had picked these songs like months ago, you know what I'm saying? But we just didn't know because you can't rush the artist. Like, the artist going to pick when he wanted to come out. So, like, he was like, yeah, my boy, it's out. So I'm listening and, like, watching it, like, everything of, like, yo.
Oh, man. Look at Jerv's face because he just watched MB go down.
Oh, he's concerned.
It's good.
Turn injuries off.
He took a tumble. That's definitely. Oh, everybody. They showed everybody in the crowd. All these Sixer fans. They shat themselves. Oh, damn, my God. My fault, Trey. Didn't mean to cut you.
No, you're good. You're good, bro. Because that moment is like he looked like he just watched this. You know how Kobe used to leave? They got that meme where Kobe and Vanessa and the kids are leaving the Lakers game early. That's how Jerv was looking. He was just kind of like. The discomfort, like it was so discomfort.
The MVP is okay. He's still on the court.
We're
good.
Dog, okay. his leg got caught under him. That's not a good look.
Thank you for the check-in. It definitely wasn't a good look. He's going to have a strawberry on his hip. But long story short, Growthfully Developed is on all streaming platforms. Please download, purchase. I get paid for that. So, yes.
EP? That EP life.
I got that EP life, baby.
Is that something that you'd want to keep doing or do some more of?
I think it was fun, but I just don't have the bandwidth for it. Honestly, it took a lot of time. It's something cool to have under my belt. I'm currently mentoring an artist right now by the name of Huey Briss. Very dope. You know what I'm saying? He just released a blog.
Out of where?
Like on Friday. He's out of North Long Beach.
Okay.
One of the dope lyrical kids out right now, and he got a chance to spend time in New York with me, so that was pretty cool. But yeah, overall, I don't want anybody sending me their mixtapes or thinking get them signed.
Yeah, there you go. That's the
yeah.
I definitely was working on some shit. Trey, I was about to have send it your way, but
nah.
Damn.
Y'all know my best friend Donald, bro. He said, listen, you getting so famous, I don't want niggas to start rapping to us at dinner.
No.
I said, nigga, no. It would never get to that point, I promise you. That would be so gross, bro. A nigga just start spitting 16 to you, nigga. And he a waiter.
Yo, I got my mixtape. You gonna be like my man, what's my man in the fucking... Hustle and Flow.
Howard. The nigga DJ.
Give him a cassette. He's like, what am I supposed to do with a cassette?
Has anybody did that to you since they send you a code?
All the time. Not a cassette. Like, are you talking about like coming up to me and start rapping? Like in real life? No.
Whatever. But, just trying to say that they can get on.
My DMs, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's nasty.
People be asking me all the time.
I respect everybody's dream and hustle, but I am no Dame Dash. Please keep your music to yourself.
But what if you are?
I'm not. I'm telling you right now, bro.
I have no desire to do that shit. I have no desire to do that shit.
And again, I'm not saying that people aren't going to figure it out and be dope. Or that I missed out on my blessing to become the Mike Dean to somebody. You know what I mean? Like, my main thing is, like, look, I respect everybody's hustle and what they can do, but I don't want to be responsible for anyone's career. I don't have time for this shit. I'm working on NFTs. I'm working on motherfucking clothing. I got my hands in all the creative space, and I cannot be responsible for your career. I'm sorry.
Speaking of NFTs, y'all see this shit with De'Aaron Fox?
His partner slid on him.
I learned the term pull the rug. Like, what happens there?
You normally have somebody that's well known in this space and can build the community up for you because, again, De'Aaron Fox is fucking De'Aaron Fox. He plays basketball. That's it. And probably video games and buy shoes. But you're not asking him to actually know about NFTs, like, truthfully. And there's always that hidden guy that gets the machine going, right? And this dude probably is like, hey, you know what would be cool? We'll give out autographed jerseys. We'll do game tickets. We'll do Kentucky signed memorabilia, and it'll be great. And De'Aaron Fox is like, okay, that's all you need me to do? Bet. All right, cool. You handle the back end. Well, it became very popular. They made a lot of money. And guess what this dude does? Yoink. Closes the Discord. Makes the account private. Just poof. So I feel honestly bad for
Darren.
Yes, basically by his partner that was working with it. But the thing was
business with anybody?
No, I think he probably just, you know, probably somebody he trusts. He probably went to UK with the dude. But the thing is, it's like, oh, this shit makes sense. And then motherfuckers say, oh, we had $1 million, $2 million. Bye. Bye. Because you're not closely watching that shit like that, right? You're going to be like, go ahead and handle it, whatever I need to sign. The dude might be like, hey, you own this, but then I helped do this. And they move the address over and these things of that nature. And yeah, you just shut it out. So like, you know, obviously to avoid lawsuits and things, signing their jerseys and getting everything that was promised to done. Because he has to fulfill those agreements. People were like, what's up? Not saying that all NFTs are like this. You know what I mean? It's like some people are moving dirty in this game.
People pay for NFTs from him and he never sent off what they paid for.
So basically it's a package. Like, right, you sign up for this community, join a Discord, you get the NFT, but then along with that, you get some incentive, right? You get like whatever it may be, whether it's an Oculus, whether it's a signed game jersey, whether it's some shorts, depending on that pack that the park that you belong to, right? Mm-hmm. And you think about it, if you got over 100,000 subscribers and to Ethereum, maybe it's $3,000 to get in. Yeah. You do the math.
Yeah.
Yo, let while we're on this topic of De'Aaron Fox, I want to ask a question. This is obviously De'Aaron Fox is probably literally most famous for me saying that Ja Morant is who he thinks he is, right? Is who Fox thinks he is. My boy in a group chat that I don't think I've ever talked about this, or we haven't talked about it much, was watching the Sixers Knicks game, and he said Tyrese Maxey is who Emmanuel Quickly thinks he is. And
that's funny.
It's funny, but I was like, wait a second. Am I the one? Like, did I invent a new thing? Is this the thing now?
You might have.
Like, that's the thing, right?
Can you turn that into an NFT?
I don't know. That's Trey. You got yes. You my NFT.
Do you have that content? What is that? The tweet?
What? When I originally said that?
Yeah. Is that a tweet?
I said on the jump, man. I said on video.
If you got the video, yes, you could turn it into an NFT.
Whoa, did I just executive produce this real fast? Is that what just happened there?
I think you did. Oh, shit. Yes. Hey. But yes. I mean, you can mint that moment.
That's crazy. Will people actually buy that shit, though?
Only one way to find out. Listen, people buy a lot of shit, bro. Niggas were selling rocks, my nigga. a literal rock.
So not crack rocks. No, just rocks.
I know we're talking about Snowfall, but we're not talking about crack rocks yet, bro.
Yeah. What's going on, guys? You know what it is. New year, new you. I get it. We all got it. We all have our New Year's resolutions. One of them is to eat better, right? You want to eat good food, but you also want to spend an arm and a leg. And guess what? HelloFresh can help you with that. They have endless options to make cooking at home simple and enjoyable. Here's the deal. HelloFresh delivers pre-portioned ingredients to your door, including farm-fresh produce that arrives within a week, so you get convenience without skimping on quality. Skip the trip to the grocery store, saving you those wait and those long lines where these people don't know how to use a checkout thing. It drives me insane. So I know what you're thinking. So what, me? I could just go to a restaurant. Guess what? HelloFresh, 72% cheaper than a restaurant meal of the same quality. You could save, on average, over $65 per month when you order HelloFresh instead of grocery shopping. That's more money to put towards those 2022 goals of yours. That's right. Whatever it is you're trying to do with that extra money, I don't care. Maybe you open a savings account. Maybe your New Year's resolution is to save more money. HelloFresh helps you with that as well. I know going out to a restaurant, as I said, is inconvenient. Particularly, I got a big family, man. It's hard to get the kids in the car and go down. No. We could do HelloFresh at the house. They sent it to my house We had all types of meals. These meals are easy to make. They're delicious. My kids love the pub-style shepherd's pie. They also love the Bravo balsamic chicken, the sun-dried tomato spaghetti. The list goes on and on. Get you some HelloFresh. It's delicious. It is affordable. And it is convenient. So this is what I want you to do. Go to HelloFresh.com/BOM16 and use the code BOM16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. Again, HelloFresh.com/BOM16 and get up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. The promo code is BOM16. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got 2 cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass-on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, little, hey, boy, how you doing? And Noodle's just like,
yeah, whatever. Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with a plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance. Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher-turned-podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep. Free shipping, vacuum sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
Speaking of snowfall, by the way, I didn't know there was 2 episodes.
They were so thirsty for that.
I watched episode 1 and I was like, all right, I'm good. And then like, oh, there's a second. I didn't watch the second episode, so I can't even talk about what happened in episode 2.
Yeah, it's talking about Teddy. But yeah.
Okay. So all right. Here's the part where I wish there was it's probably on YouTube, right? There's gotta be like a recap because I'm watching and I'm like, I thought Teddy was dead. Didn't they kill Teddy?
Nah.
Nah, remember he killed the dad.
Say what? He just what?
Remember he went out and
he killed, you know, he killed Franklin's dad.
He killed Franklin's dad in Cuba.
Oh,
so and then it cut. But allegedly, I don't know how many years this is supposed to be, because obviously this nigga, I thought he was daydreaming this whole time. This nigga got a real estate business. He flying fucking planes like he's CJ from fucking Grand Theft Auto. Grand Theft Auto. Like, nigga, how you learn how to fly a fucking plane, bro?
And I thought about that shit too.
I was so annoyed with that part because that was powerific.
You feel like that's powerific,
nigga? Hear me out.
I get it. My only reason I question it is because even though I believe this is veered off from the true basis of what it was, right?
Yeah.
You know, there were niggas that fucking made it to the point where they were doing shit. Like, he's got the bread to do that shit.
Oh yeah, no, he's just like a nigga. Rick Ross chopping fucking trees with a fucking chainsaw. Like, he's at the point of buying fucking cows. Trust me, I get
that. Was crazy, by the way. That's really happened.
And I'm truly thinking he did that shit wrong and probably could have killed himself. But we're gonna talk about that another time.
Okay.
All right. That shit would go down a whole fucking wormhole. But this nigga Franklin is 24 years old. He has a real estate business. He's a millionaire. He's making all his money. He's just buying shit. He's flying over fucking Los Angeles and saying, "I'm gonna buy that land." Like, he's that rich now.
All right,
like,
yeah, no, that's Grand Theft Auto.
Like, this nigga is creating fucking areas completed. He's just discovering new areas. But the fact that the nigga is comfortably flying a plane, the nigga's from South Central, nigga. He barely can swim. And the nigga flying a plane at 24, like, he didn't go to school. The niggas didn't say, "Hey, how does a nigga just download a skill like that, though? No, they treat that shit like it's like nigga, Duolingo. Like, the nigga just read a book and was like, "I'm fucking fly." Like, I get it, bro. I love this show to death, my nigga. But come on, bro. They're doing fucking too much. They doing way too fucking much for 1985. That nigga's flying his own plane.
Oh, that's the thing I was going to say. So the Len Bias shit, I really didn't like. I was like, that was when I was like, because first of all, they could have just used the news story. They didn't have to have a nigga go play Len Bias. So like,
and the nigga was like acting his ass on.
But, like, also, the way they portrayed it made it seem like Len Bias is just this party nigga. And the reality is that night was the first night he ever tried cocaine.
Yeah, it wasn't like he was doing this shit all the time.
Yeah, he wasn't doing that shit all the time. It was literally, like, it was his draft party. Niggas was like, "Come on, man, you got to celebrate." And he's like, "All right, I'm going to do, like, a couple of lines." And the shit was bad. It wasn't also –
How I like, feel like they should have showed it was, like, the nigga, like, "How you do it? Okay, wait, I do it like this."
If you showed it, I felt like
you could have just had him die.
You could have just had the news story.
Yeah, they could have did that. Like, but I'm just talking about, if they're going to act it out, he should have been so novice of like, "What do I do with this shit?" He's like, "Man, like, you know how the Dewey Cox shit is. Get out of here, Dewey."
Yeah. It
should have been exactly like that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But they got that nigga snorting like he a pro, nigga. He had that.
Oh, he was like, "Oh, you know me, I'm a horse." And I'm like, "Dog, that's not how it went down."
Let me ask y'all this though, and obviously we all are too young to like really remember the impact. But was Len Bias when that shit happened?
It was.
That was the trigger point that made like,
that was
That
was the Nancy Reagan just say no, all that shit, like all that shit happened around that time.
The one thing you never want to happen: an athlete and white people.
White people, yep.
And they made that story because it. Now you got fucking people doing the fucking riot shit, like busting in people's houses, raiding. That was like the first raid that we see. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like it's tipped off, like, "Oh, I need to do this," and blah blah blah. I've had my house raided. You know what I'm saying? The point of like, "Nigga, who told you, nigga, that was something over here? Ain't nothing over here." Now y'all niggas done fucked up our house because of crack cocaine.
Dog, Steven Jackson has one of the craziest house raid stories ever when he was in high school.
I believe it.
That shit is wild, man. But yeah, man, that's the first time I remember watching Snowfall and being like, "Yeah, y'all fucked up on this one, man." Beyond the fact that you didn't need to show it, but if you're gonna show it, you can't paint this picture of this dude who's just out here wilding, man. Like, That I didn't think that was cool at all. Definitely not to his family, but in general, even if his family's not around, man, like, you ain't need to do all that. Like, but yeah, man, fucking him learning to play was kind of funny. Lee breaking the kid's foot for stealing J's. Hey, fuck
yo, that nigga. First of all, them J's was important back then. That's 85.
Man, are they more important now?
Yes.
Are they more? They're more
important now because, again, they're not difficult shoe to get, but they're like they've reached all range.
Reached the
all
time level.
You know what I'm saying? That was a drug dealer shoe at that time. Like, oh, you're getting money, Michael Jordan. Cool, it's the hot thing. And of course, obviously banned. Like he didn't even fuck with the shoe. It was a whole controversy around it. But only drug dealers wore Jordans at the time. Like them niggas was the real fashion style icons. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't get my style from a nigga that's in that dress is wearing Prada. I get my style from the neighborhood drug dealer nigga that wore the Jordan 3s nigga with some Levi's and a fucking Calvin Klein and shit like that. So I get it, but how Leon became this fucking Scarface terrorist ass nigga where he breaking niggas feet. Like, I was like, then, all
right,
hold nigga.
Up. Hold on, hold on, hold on. Don't do that because Leon got a couple bodies, right?
No, he got bodies, but it was funny that he just went full militant. Like, all right, nigga, you want to steal shit? All right, he could keep the shoes after, but the nigga breaking the nigga foot was.
Did he steal the shoes from someone or did he steal the shoes from the store?
No, he stole them from someone because when they asked
the niggas from the crew,
and when they asked him about it, this stupid ass nigga, rather than be like, just come up with a lie, like I didn't know it was his, or I just want to rock him for a little bit. Yeah, he made some shit like we the hardest workers, and y'all we don't get shit. I'm like, nigga, this is a bad time to start arguing about Marxism and shit, man. I'm like, this is not the time to start having like a philosophical debate about the ills of capitalism where like the people up top get all the money but we doing all the work. Jerv, relax, man. Relax, hey, Jerv. Why is this game this close, Jerv? If we're gonna do all that stuff.
Cause they scored 35 points in the first quarter. I'm just impressed with 38.
Oh but, God, you know. Man. This is the thing about Sixers fans. They ain't never had nothing nice, man. This shit is crazy to me. They act like Dr. J never exists, my nigga. God damn.
My nigga, I was three. I was like,
I get it.
What you want me to do?
Hey, be like Knicks fans to claim championships they weren't alive for.
Yeah, that shit reminds me of when somebody said, like, Vince Staples said he ain't never listened to Biggie or Tupac. And they were like, no, no, no. He's like, nigga, I wasn't born. And it's like, what about your parents? It's like, what about your parents? Like, but then it's like, what about your parents? It's like, you think my parents sat me down and listened? I'm sorry, they were more concerned about me getting education. Hey, nigga, you gotta listen to this shit. The way he broke it down was mad funny, man. Oh shit. Well, I'm not going. I guess I don't want y'all to spoil episode 2 for me, but also,
no, we don't even talk about it. We'll do 2 and 3 the next show.
There you go. There we go. We'll do it next week. We'll catch everybody up. So let's wrap up here with Power. I didn't watch Power, so I'm going to sit back. I'm going to let y'all talk.
I'm sick of this shit.
I'm going to take off my headphones and just wave at me when y'all done.
I'm sick of this show. Like, I fucking had it, y'all. Like, today episode was bullshit.
Let me just say, I'm watching Trey's body language right now. I have no idea what he said. I've muted the chat. I don't know what they're saying, but I'm just looking at the tray. This shit is hilarious.
If I could get my 60 minutes back, bro, I would. Jerv, what was that shit we watched?
That shit was fucking bullshit. It was Power to the 100th degree. You've got the situation with him and the brother and the pop trying to get a read on him. He's over here about to take out. I don't even remember what the dude's name was at the dock area. And then the cops come, but don't worry, everybody gets away, but they don't really get away because the crooked cop sees the dude. Like, yo, bro, it was just so much. It was one of them Jones where I was sitting there just like, yo, how much is left in this episode?
When did Tommy become the fucking Punisher? That's all I want to know. When did he go to fucking Punisher? He killed
How many Serbians is he going to kill before they kill him?
bro, he's fucking untouchable. And then secondly, right, the scene where the brother's doing his coke and he kisses the scar. Like,
yo, you did all that kiss your scar, bro?
Hey, it was pissing me. It was pissing me. It was pissing me the fuck off, bro. And then these meetings never go right. They never go through. Anytime they want to meet, it never happens. They pull up on the yardies, like you said, bro. All of a sudden, niggas tipped off, and the cop cars don't pull up on the rare black SUV. They turn. Like, these niggas just hit a cloak, and all of a sudden, they're invisible. But the cop sees him and makes eye contact. Like, I know him. Yeah, I know that motherfucker, too. He came by the barbershop. And then Tommy's like, well, if you know something, I would reflect that you knew. You told me first. And then now the Serbians are here talking about where's my drugs and connected to her. And she sends a text message, and now he comes to rescue. Like, this shit is unbearable.
And the Serbians don't check the text that she sends until the end. Like, what? And yo, my man Tommy's killed the New York Connect to Serbia, and now he's killed the Chicago Connect. If he's not dead within 24 hours, I don't know what's going on in this world, because you can't live like that and keep surviving, bro. You can't.
My main thing is how he ain't got shot at least once.
Once.
At least just once, bro. Eat a shoulder, leg wound, something. This nigga is a marksman. Nothing has failed him yet, bro. He has been checking niggas off the list like don't be a menace, bro. Like the white nigga.
And why does that girl, why did that lady know? We've never seen her before, and all of a sudden she's the one that made the call for to spare his life. Like,
you know, they gotta make somebody, they gotta make it happen, bro. All I'm gonna say, this is some bullshit. I don't even know.
This show started off okay.
His brother sees his nephew, like basically sees the son, and like they both have this stupid ass look, like they look familiar. Like, I get it, he hasn't seen his dad, but nigga, you just
keep picking on this. Oh, store?
He looks like me. I look like him. I don't even know what they're. What are they doing with this shit, man? And now Tommy's just racking up all these enemies.
But don't worry, nobody's gonna touch him though.
And he's fucking old boy's girl, but he still wants to work with him.
He broke it off with her though.
Good for him.
He broke it off with her.
And still be rolling with that nigga.
Oh, he's still. I mean, listen, you think Tommy not gonna hit that again? Come on.
Oh yeah, for sure. He gonna hit old girl too with the scar.
Of course. Oh, my man loves her. Oh, by the way, that's the other thing I had. So you gonna tell her basically to play? She turns it down. And she gets to just walk out. You basically just told her that you're about to overthrow this whole thing with how you were acting. You try to get her to kill Tommy. She says no, and you let her roll.
That's why he can't be leader. He gonna die though, for sure.
He can't be doing brother all the lines either. Oh yeah, he's dead. Gonna die.
He too reckless with his leadership. He don't know how to move out here. I'm not really feeling his whole swag. He doing a lot for my liking. I'll say that. But long story short, I hate that we committed to this show. Bring back Kanan. Bring back BMF. Bring back something else. This shit, I don't know if I got enough, but yeah.
All right, that's gonna do it for Power Talk right now, man. I can't wait to watch this episode and go back to listen to Pod, see what you guys talked about, because again, the looks on your faces is too funny. And I think that's gonna wrap it up for us here. Remember, The Overflow comes out tomorrow. We're gonna be doing Euphoria season finale and A Righteous Gemstones. Is that a season finale also, or is that just? That's a season finale also. Damn, two season finales tomorrow. So definitely make sure you're checking that out on the Patreon, patreon.com/countthedings. For Black Trey, for Philadelphia Jerv, for everybody who else behind the scenes, thank you so much for listening. Stay black, motherfuckers.